Now it's Food Friday. Fall brings a change in the weather, but also a change in our kitchens. A lot of us might be happily enjoying some hot tea or other warm beverages and making some of our go-to soups, warm meals in the oven, and yummy fall produce. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are some of your favorite fall recipes to pull out once the leaves are changing? Do you have a favorite soup or maybe recipes for fall squash or other seasonal produce? What's your favorite thing about fall cooking? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Christy Rost is a public television chef and host and author of three cookbooks, including Celebrating Home. She's a lifestyle authority and entertaining guru. Christy, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, Rob, thank you so much. I am thrilled to be here today.
Well, are you excited like I am when fall produce season starts to roll around?
I can hardly wait every year. You know, I love the summer and I love the light meals and all that. But I always long for fall produce and fall meals, those savory things, savory flavors and aromas. And oh, yeah, and when all the veggies start coming out at the farmer's market, I am so there.
Well, we're on the same page, I think. One of the recipes you provided for us that we have up at WPR.org/Food Friday is a way to roast a combo of vegetables, and oven roasting fall produce is one of my favorite things to do. Tell us about your roasted glazed autumn vegetables.
Oh, thank you. Well, first of all, I have to say that when I created this recipe, I ran some of it next door to a neighbor, and I said, would you try this and tell me what you think? And she called me back within about 20 minutes and said, that is one of the tastiest things to ever pass my lips. And I, with a review like that, it's like, oh, yeah, this is a winner. I knew I didn't have to tweak it. It was perfect just the way it was. And the thing I like about the roasted glazed autumn vegetables is that it depends a lot on just what you have in your crisper drawer and in the pantry. So in this particular recipe, I took a butternut squash, red onion, some turnips, sweet potatoes, carrots, and I peeled, chopped, and put them all into a large roasting pan, and then just drizzled them with some olive oil. Then I took a whole head of garlic, and I just, you know, separated the cloves, peeled them, chopped them just ever so lightly, and put them in with the pan, and added a little kosher salt, some black pepper, and then I roasted those for about 35 minutes or so, depending on, I was doing it at high altitude the last time, so because we have a home in Colorado, but right now I'm talking to you from Dallas, so there it took maybe 40 minutes for them to get tender, and then I took them out of the oven, and I drizzled them with some maple syrup and a couple tablespoons of brown sugar, and it doesn't matter if it's light or dark brown sugar, and stirred them up, stuck them back in the oven for another 10 or 15 minutes, and oh my gosh, I can see what my neighbor was saying. They are so, so tasty. And sometimes I don't have all of those ingredients. It happened, I wrote the recipe based on what I had a couple weeks ago in the pantry and in the crisper drawer. But sometimes I want the same flavors, but I don't have everything. So I may have some little red new potatoes or some, gold potatoes or something like that. And I'll quarter those and put those in. And that's really nice. It's also, you can take this recipe, break it down into much smaller amounts if you're having a meal for two. Or you can add lots of extra in if you have a large family. So it's very, it's one of these recipes that just kind of flows with what you've got.
It's Food Friday. We're talking to Christy Rost, public TV chef and cookbook author, talking about great fall cooking. Now, I love oven roasted vegetables, and I'll do just simple. I'll cut up one kind of veggie, toss it in some oil, salt, pepper, whatever spices I want, and roast it. One key I've heard from a couple people that's really upped my game, Christy, is upping the temperature. I used to do it kind of lower and slower. Your recipe, I think, is at 450, and going at that higher temperature really, well, A, it cooks it quicker, but it cooks it better, it seems like. Is that right?
It really does, because what that does, Rob, is it allows the veggies to caramelize. And when they caramelize, they're getting that browning on the bottom of the pan and a little bit of brown on their tops. What that does is it really heightens the flavor quotient of the recipe. Yeah, and if you cook at a low temperature, they just kind of steam in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you mentioned there are turnips in this, and there are two kind of like, I don't know, people look down on them. They didn't think about them, the turnip and the parsnip. I like them. I can't sell them to my family for some reason. Do you want to give a little love to those humble root vegetables?
Yes. Well, the reason I put turnips in a couple of weeks ago, and that's the recipe that you have, is because I grew turnips in my Colorado garden this year. Uh-huh. And because we're way up in the mountains at 9,300 feet, and we live in a historic home built in the 1800s, because we're up so high, this particular variety just didn't grow all that big because we had really chilly nights through a lot of the summer. And so when I harvested them, I looked down and I go, well, aren't you cute? You aren't huge, but you are cute. So I thought, well, I'll just buy maybe two large ones and then put all these darling little ones in there too. And I really like turnips. I think some people don't know what they are, and so they are afraid to try them. And I always think they taste to me a little bit like a potato that's got a little bit of horseradish flavor in it, because it has that little spiciness to it. In a roasted veggie dish, they're super. And I will tell you, if it's my mom who's coming, I won't tell her that's what it is, because by the time I've cut it up, it looks like potato.
9,300 feet. Well, you'd be looking down at Tim's Hill, our highest point in Wisconsin. You need binoculars
to see
all the way down there.
This is true.
Now, here's another one, another favorite of mine, actually, when winter squash comes around. Actually, just this weekend made, it's already gone, a butternut squash soup. And you've given us a recipe for it. It looks pretty good, too, for a butternut squash soup. How do you prepare the squash here? I've done it a couple different ways. My main way, I think, is your way for this recipe.
Okay. Well, you probably do what I do then. I take the squash and the butternut squash, and I peel it, and then I chop it up and put it into a large pot, because this makes a lot, although I also have the recipe, and that helps. I will saute some sweet onion, and I always use sweet onion as opposed to yellow onions or white onions, which are storage onions and never have as much moisture in them, and they make you cry more. So I always use sweet onions, and then lots of garlic. If you want to make a strictly vegetarian version, then you would use vegetable broth. Chicken broth brings out great flavor. And then I roast a pumpkin, and I just cut it in half. A butternut squash, because I do it both ways. But the butternut squash, I will turn it, cut it in half, seed it, put it on parchment paper on a large roasting cookie sheet, stick it in the oven, and roast it until it's nice and brown on the bottom and kind of fork tender. And then I cut that up, stick that in the pot with all the other things, and cook that for a while. And then you can either puree your butternut squash ahead of time, or what I do is I just put it all in the pot in chunks, and then I add curry powder, which gives a really nice little extra flavor boost, and some salt and pepper, and then my secret ingredient is white pepper, just a whisper of white pepper. It gives it a real nice little kick in the back of the throat. And I heat that until the flavors meld and the squash has all that gorgeous flavor has come together and all. And then I set it aside until it's lukewarm. And then I put it through a food processor or something like that. And the one caution I would say is never use a blender or a food processor when the product is hot, because it will explode the lid off. So you always want to wait until it's lukewarm so you don't get burned. And then I return it all back to a pot and cook it again and just let all those flavors come together. And at the very end, I'll add in some heavy cream. And that just, like, one cup of heavy cream is all you need, and it just really smooths out the soup and just gives this incredible flavor. And the whole recipe was inspired by a Rhine River cruise trip that my husband and I took several years ago from Amsterdam down to Basel, Switzerland. And in Basel, if you are familiar with it at all, has this incredible market square that's always been there since, you know, ancient times, since the 1500s, and a beautiful array of old buildings there. And we were there in the autumn, and at one of the booths, they had these huge Cinderella pumpkins, and some of them were cut into slices ready for people to take home and make whatever they were going to do with it. Wonderful. And I looked at those, and I took a photo because they were gorgeous. And I thought, oh, I'm going to make a recipe with that.
Sounds good. We're talking to Kristy Rost, public TV chef and host and cookbook author, talking about great fall cooking. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What have you been enjoying in your kitchen this fall? Do you ever make any homemade Halloween-themed treats? What's your favorite way to use your fall veggies? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Find some recipes from Kristy at WPR.org/Food Friday. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. It's Food Friday. We're picking up our talk with Kristy Rost, public TV chef and host. We are doing some fall cooking with seasonal produce. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions and your favorites, 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. John is with us in Madison. John, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have some butternut squash puree in the freezer from last year that I never quite got to. Is it still good, or should I throw it out and use a new squash?
Oh my gosh, John, you're just like I am. Yep, those things end up in the freezer. And I will tell you, go ahead and defrost it as long as it has stayed frozen the whole time. Defrost it. It will weep. So just pour off the liquid after it's completely defrosted and use it as you would, whether you want it for a pie or for a soup or for muffins or whatever. It should be fine.
Fantastic. That's what I did Sunday. I used half my butternut squash for soup and the other half for the freezer for future reference when I'm desperate for some yummy veggies later.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks a lot for calling in, John. We got an email, by the way, some parsnip love. Grant says, parsnips are my fall favorites. Peel them and oven roast until tender, then mash and use in a fantastic parsnip pie, or process and add into bread dough with black pepper and a big drop of maple syrup added in. Few things are better in fall. Grant, thanks so much.
Oh, wow.
We talked turnips. That sounds like a pretty good way to use parsnips, though, doesn't that?
Oh, yes. That sounds like a wonderful way. I'm intrigued with the bread. I like
that. Yeah, I kind of want more detail about that. I'm not sure how that all works.
Yeah, share it with me.
Well, speaking of sharing, I want to get into one more recipe you shared with us. This isn't exactly fall produce, but it's very seasonal. It's at WPR.org/Food Friday, a Halloween treat for meringue ghosts. Now, I've never made meringue. It seems tricky to me, is it?
Oh, my gosh. It is so easy to do, Rob. Oh, my gosh. You know, with all the things you're making, you could master this first time out the gate. Yeah, it's 3 egg whites, and I always keep them at room temperature before I whip them, and just a little bit of cream of tartar. Cream of tartar is an acid, and what it does when you beat up the egg whites, it helps increase their volume, and it will also stabilize them. And then about 3 3/4 teaspoon of vanilla for the flavoring, and you just whip all that together until it gets nice and foamy. And then I add very slowly a cup of sugar and just keep beating and beating until stiff peaks form. And when I say stiff peaks, you should be able to take the beater, hold it up in the air, and it should have a little curly cue on top and not move. And that is stiff peaks. And it will also get real shiny. And then you put it into a piping bag and you pipe the ghost. And I have the video and the how-to to do that on my Facebook page and Instagram. So anyone can go there. It's like 4 minutes, and I'll show you just how to pipe out that ghost. It's really, really fun. And then as you get farther into the holiday season, then skip the ghosts and move right on to snowmen. You just make, and of course it's Wisconsin. You guys have a lot of snow. So, you know, you just pipe a couple of round discs and put little chocolate chips in for the eyes and the button down the tummy and all, and you've got ghosts.
Spooky. Sounds good.
You've got snowmen.
Let's go back to our callers now. Russ is with us in Pleasant Springs. Russ, hi.
Hi. Years ago, before my wife passed away in the fall, she used to make a family favorite, and I don't know if it was butternut squash or what kind. It was a dark green, and I think the interior was pretty much yellow, and she would cut that off, scoop out the interior, and fill it with fresh cranberries, I think. And maybe some brown sugar, maybe some white sugar to sweeten the cranberries. But I don't remember exactly what her recipe was and how long it went in the oven or whether it was covered with foil and what temperature it would have been baked at.
Were those kind of like each one was a personal size?
Yeah,
or was it a large
maybe 3-4 inches diameter across the bottom.
Right. That sounds like acorn squash.
Yeah.
And just if you want to recreate her recipe, simply rinse them, then cut them in half, scoop out the seeds. And there are two ways to cook it, if you have a lot of time or you're short on time. If you have a lot of time, you can put them in the oven. I fill mine with a little brown sugar, chopped apples. In your case, you're going to want to use the cranberries, a little, maybe a tablespoon of butter, and stick them in the oven. If you are watching sugars, then skip the brown sugar and add some curry powder in there instead. That's very, very good. If you're short on time, you can put them upside down in a skillet with about an inch of water. Cover the skillet and steam them. Then and you put them in upside down, then turn them over and then put in your filling, whatever you want, and it takes an extra 5 minutes. But that's so, you know, some days I like the oven and some days I'm in a hurry, but I want that acorn squash. Which reminds me, I have one in my fridge and I really want to get that out and use it tonight.
And what temperature, if he's doing it in the oven, what's our temperature there?
Oh, I think I do about 350 to 375.
Okay. Good luck, Russ. Let us know how it turns out. I'd love to hear if you can recreate that recipe successfully. That's fantastic. Now, I know one of your cookbooks, Christy, Celebrating Home, is about the joys of finding comfort in home through cooking. I think that's something a lot of us are looking for these days. What are some of your favorite comforting foods that you're making or maybe looking forward to over the holidays?
Oh, yeah. Thank you for asking. Well, if I skip on back to my first book, The Family Table, then it would be the onion souffle, which is a fancy name, not a difficult dish at all to do. The butternut squash soup recipe actually came from Celebrating Home, so I love, love, love that. I have an enchiladas recipe that's good. It's a little more labor intensive, but boy, is it yummy. One of my really kind of quick and easy recipes that I like in Celebrating Home is French country chicken with cranberries and artichokes. And it's just, you know, preheat a skillet, put this chicken in, smooth side down, and saute until it browns, then turn it over. And I always skin my chicken because it's just healthier. And then I cook it on the other side for a little bit, and until it registers 165 degrees on a meat thermometer. And then I move them aside, add in some leeks and some onion to the skillet and saute that, stir in cranberries and garlic, and then artichokes. And it's a one-pan meal, but it looks really, really fancy, but it isn't. It is so quick and easy to do. And for holiday time, I really love the orange glazed roasted duck breasts. It is, again, this is another recipe. It looks restaurant quality, but it's really easy to make at home. And most of the recipes that I have in Celebrating Home, I cook in a very practical kind of way because I'm really busy, and so is just about everyone else. And so I like recipes that I can do part way and then go back to it either the next day or later in the day.
That's great advice. I have to jump in. We're all out of time. Thanks to Kristy Rost, public TV chef and host. She's just made us all very hungry. Her cookbooks include Celebrating Home. Find some of her fall recipes she shared at WPR.org/Food Friday. Coming up Monday on Central Time, there are a lot of kinds of insurance on the market. It can be hard to tell what you do and don't need. A financial planner tells us what makes sense and what most of us can skip. That and a lot more coming up Monday on Central Time.